From the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15, we read these words. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." So I've been thinking about temptation this week and what temptation really is. And I think that temptation, we think of it as being kind of like what I said to the kids up here. Something you shouldn't do, something you shouldn't eat, something you shouldn't say. But I think that there are other kinds of temptation, and I think that maybe under the circumstances in our world right now, or in our country right now especially, this is what we need to talk about. Because sometimes temptations are not as clear-cut as what we'd like to think that they can be. One of the things that I thought about when I was reading about this young man that killed all those kids is the temptation that we have in our society to not pay attention. The temptation that we have as people to look the other way when we see something. And decide that it's not our problem. It's not our concern. You see, I think about this kid, and I'm not pleased, believe me, I'm not justifying any of it. But at some point in time, something went terribly, horribly wrong, didn't it? At some point in time, somewhere along the line, we lost this kid. We lost him a long time before he loaded the magazine and a long time before he took the first shots. We lost him at some point in time when he did not feel loved or cared for. Now, we don't know exactly why. There's still a lot of investigating that's being done. From what I understand, I believe his mother is dead. I believe he was living with another family. I don't know if they were friends or distant relatives. But as the reports keep coming in, we hear one teacher say, "You know, people always thought he was weird." You know, you hear somebody else that says, "You know, he had a lot of guns and he talked about them and he talked about using them." We hear another report that said that he had joined a white supremacist organization. And you wonder, when you start to piece all of this together, at what stage in the game did he feel like he had to turn to an organization like that to get the love and the support and the acceptance that he needed? How many of you remember being a kid? Remember being a teenager? That's a hard time, isn't it? Is it an easy time, Jake? Is it easy being a teenager? No, right? Because you have to worry. You have to worry about what clothes you wear. Heck, I'm not going to. But if I came in here in my pajamas and my slippers You guys might not appreciate it, but you know what? I wouldn't care. I'm just at that stage in my life. I'm going to do what I feel comfortable doing because I'm comfortable enough with myself. And I'm comfortable with all of you. And I know that you would look and say, oh, there she goes again. But you'd love me anyway. Right? I hope so. Anyway, maybe I'll try that next week. But when you're a teenager, you have to worry about what clothes you wear. Don't you? You gotta wear the right kind of stuff. You don't want to look too dorky. You don't want to try to look like you're trying too hard. You better have your hair cut the right way. I don't know if, you know, when I was a kid in school, you had to have the little alligator on your shirt. If you couldn't afford the alligator, you better afford the tiger. Right? I mean, it was a thing. Those jeans better be Jordache, for those of you that are my age. Nowadays, you better not look like you're wearing mom jeans. How many of you remember? This is really pushing it. Okay, this is how bad it is. A couple of years ago, the President of the United States went out in public wearing a pair of jeans, and all over the internet was Barack Obama wears mom jeans. You can't even be the president of the free world without getting criticized for what your jeans look like. Now, I don't think he really cared. But if he was a teenager in a high school, oh, he'd care. Believe me. I don't know what made this young man feel unloved. Maybe it was the loss of his mother. I'm not sure where his father is. If his father was ever in his life, if his father's dead too. I don't know where his family is. But at some point in time, we lost him because the temptation was too great to say, it's not my responsibility. It's not my responsibility to call the social worker and say, hey, I got this kid in my class. He's talking a lot about using guns. It's not my responsibility to put my arms around this kid and say, hey, look, you sound like things are really disturbing you. Can we talk? What can I do to help? It's not my responsibility as a kid to go home and say to my parents, hey, this kid is scaring me. It's not my responsibility to call the police and say, maybe you guys need to open up a file on this young man. Maybe it's not the FBI's responsibility to follow up on the tips. We don't know. Right now it's all rumors. But whose responsibility was he? He was ours. Remember at the end of, or at the very beginning, I guess, of A Christmas Carol? When Marley's ghost looks at Ebenezer Scrooge and says, it was my business. Mankind was my business. We all own a little piece of the tragedy in Florida. We all own a little bit of responsibility for the shooting down in the center of Racine. Because no one could reach Dante Shannon even though he was 26. We all own a little bit of the responsibility for the couple that was critically, maybe fatally injured in that car accident in Festival Hall. Because as a society, we're tempted to turn away and say, it's not my responsibility. It's not my responsibility to look out for my next door neighbor. Even though they haven't mowed their lawn in 3 months. Let me call the village of Mount Pleasant and turn them in. Rather than going to their home to find out, hey, are you guys okay? Is somebody sick? Because that happened to Greg and I after he had that pulmonary embolism. Because they cared more about what my weeds looked like than the fact that my husband had almost died. But it wasn't their responsibility. You see, I think right now this is the greatest temptation we have in our country, is to not care. Or to care too much in weird ways. We care too much about making sure that people hear our opinion, and we don't care enough about listening to individuals. We care too much about platforms and causes, and not enough about Dave or Bill or Gloria by name. We care about the homeless, but we don't care about Bob or Reuben or Fred or Tammy. We care about people that are incarcerated, but we don't care to make sure that they get visited and embraced. It's not our responsibility. As we get ready to walk this Lenten journey, let's make sure that we don't become the priest on the road to the temple that walks by the beaten Samaritan. I mean, the beaten man. Let's make sure that we don't walk by and give our apologies and say, oh, I'm sorry, I can see that you are almost fatally beaten, but I don't have time right now. You're somebody else's responsibility. Let's take that time to care. And for Lent, let's give up the temptation not to take responsibility. Amen.